from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, it's Jeffrey Wright and Company.
Tell your story.
Live on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. Of course, as always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, ESPN, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial and you want to keep up with everything on 92.9 FM, you can do so by downloading the Odyssey app. It's free to download. It's free to listen anytime. You don't have to subscribe. All you got to do is download the app and start listening to 92.9. You can keep up if you miss a segment. You can use the rewind feature. It's all there to help you keep up with everything right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company for this week and the next is the MC for all fun and games here in Memphis. He's also the host of 901 Wrestling. The website is CerritoEntertainment.com. On Twitter, on X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Greetings to you, Jeffrey, and everybody listening. Great to be back. Keeping you company for back-to-back weeks here.
I got to let you know, buddy. Hope you've been stretching your jaws, because I don't know if you ever had this experience. I can't figure out how it happened, whatnot, but last Friday, after kind of like as the day's going on, I'm like, God, my tongue just like hurts. And so I go and look, and I've just got ulcers on my tongue throughout. And so like I've been hammering like Orajel or whatever that like stuff is, and it just... It sounds like I just have saliva in my mouth at all times, and it's disgusting. So apologies to everyone out there. But, yeah, not been fun.
Yeah, this is the wrong occupation for that type of condition.
Yeah. So heads up.
I'm here for you, though. I'm ready. I'm ready for to help out in any way possible.
Let's tell everybody what we got coming up on the program. It's Monday, so of course it is indeed Overreaction Mondays, the big local sporting event that we had over the weekend. Of course, the FedEx St. Jude Championship took place not without drama down the stretch. It looked like we were going to a very sleepy Sunday. Then Hideki gets told he might have a 2-shot penalty. Then he decides that he's going to start hitting in the water a decent amount. Even gives up the lead after not birdieing the easiest hole in the back nine, 16. But he finishes birdie, captures the FedEx St. Jude Championship, the first event of the PGA Tour playoff. We'll discuss that. It's also week zero. wanted to start with kind of some big picture college football thoughts. So we'll discuss that. 2:35, Jason Munns will join the program like he does each and every Monday. We have got a new preseason exhibition game announced for the Tigers. He'll tell us all about that. He, of course, had two opportunities to speak with Penny Hardaway. Since we last spoke, he'll join us to discuss that as well. 3:05, we'll get into the list. Kevin took part in the final 901 wrestling show at Black Lodge. Not the final 901 wrestling show, so he'll give us the whole update on where we are there. Also, I wanted to discuss with him, I feel like Kevin's about the only person I can talk to about all the sports streaming devices. We had a big ruling on Friday.
Huge, huge.
Huge, yeah. Huge ruling. And
I don't know if it's good for us or bad for us, but we could try to figure that out in the next hour because it's, I don't know. Because it's definitely a monopoly type
correct.
Of situation, but at the same time, it might have been a little cheaper for a short term.
I think if you just take the ruling itself and maybe view that as, okay, could this be at least setting some precedent? I think that could be a good thing for
right.
us. However, when you read the explanation and the strategies from other sides, you're like, oh, this could be depressing. So we'll get into all of it and see which way perhaps indeed that could go. Also, we got an update about Pat McAfee, his future with WWE as a broadcaster, what maybe that could say also about football. We'll get into the NFL, had some more preseason action. We've had some starting quarterbacks named, some of which were kind of obvious. We'll get into that as well. We'll tell your story, and we will get out of here. But I think first, Kevin, let's start with the FedEx St. Jude Championship. And I don't really want to talk about it from the perspective of what did this mean for the world of golf, because in the end, I view the FedEx Cup playoff as it's a redistribution of the money that they have to give, and it's there's some playing opportunity things that matter, but that's really in the weeds. I don't want to bore everyone with it because it doesn't really impact one way or the other.
And so we're not going to talk about whether it benefited St. Jude more this weekend or the Saudi Arabians.
Correct.
We're just going to focus on
correct. I want to focus
Memphis
on
element here.
The exactly.
All right.
So I went around on Saturday, and Saturday appeared to probably be, from the weather perspective, the best day to go because
I think you did luck out on that one.
It feels like if I would have gone Thursday or Friday, you really would have been dealing with some swamp ass. Like, those seem to be two brutally hot days. I think this is where I want to start, though. I am just very sick of every single time you turn on your TV hearing it's hot in Memphis. Y'all, it's summer. It's hot everywhere.
Right, wherever the golf tournament was, like, they have very limited options, I would guess, to not be hot, right?
I mean, I guess if you go up into, you know,
it's only 87 right now today.
Today wasn't bad. Now, we did also kind of have the unfortunate reality. If we would have had the tournament the week prior,
right,
we would have actually gotten the, oh my God, like, this was great. Remember that week where it kind of felt like fall? You, like, went outside. You could kind of feel that little nip in the air. It was awesome. If we could have had it that week, we would have gotten all the, oh man, weather's great. Like, you don't normally see this in Memphis. And so, like, that could have worked out. I just am at the point now where it's like, when every other line is about how hot it is, it's like, I get it, y'all. It's the South. It's the summer. But, like, where are you going to take it and it's not hot? It's hotter in New York than it is during any other time of the year right now. Like,
it's hot.
I guess you could have taken it. The USAM was up in Minneapolis or just outside Minneapolis. Like, okay. But, like, I don't understand the fixation of it's hot. We get it. Yeah. Awesome. By the way,
I mean, it was, and even that's on the television side, right?
Yes.
But locally, like, we definitely, because we had that sneak peek of, ooh, this, imagine if this was the golf tournament week this week, just the week prior, that, I think, get it in the back of our mind of the weather. Because we're used to it. If you're a Memphian, you're used to it being hot, right? It's going to be hot.
100%.
To me, as a native, once it hits like 80, it doesn't, you know it's hot. This is hot. Drink lots of water. Stay in the shade. But, yeah. It's an outdoor event in August. It's going to be hot.
Correct. And so
it was hot.
And
it was hot. You confirmed it was hot.
Correct. Admittedly, I am someone that falls into the camp of give me hot over even slightly cold. Like, I've always been.
I'm on that team as well, yeah.
Like, and I'm sure it's partly because I'm from here. and I grew up largely playing baseball, and every summer I was a catcher. I had catching gear on me at all times. I'm just used to it. I've played golf every summer, so the heat doesn't get to me like it does everyone else. But the thing is that really drives me insane is, do y'all know where most of these golfers live?
Probably where it's hot. I'm guessing Florida. And
keep going. And try South Florida.
South Florida. The very bottom.
Correct.
Most golf courses are in the entire United States are in the state of Florida. Yes.
They either live in South Florida, they live in Arizona, they live in places where it's warm, places where it's hot. That's how you play golf year round. So, I don't know. Like, I'm just kind of like, I get it. But it's just,
I guess the question, was there nothing else? Was there something else big happening they could have talked about? Maybe they're just, filling the time. Hey, it's hot. It's hot here. Not much else is happening. This start of the tournament is not that exciting.
I do think that hurt yesterday, because yesterday you have Hideki up by 5, and essentially the only storyline is, does Hideki blow it? Like, right. The only thing hotter than the temperatures is Hideki's golf.
Right.
Like, there's, so you get that one. But to me, it's just like, it's just overblown. Because to me, the tour championship's going to be in Atlanta. And it's always in Atlanta. And it's always hot. I don't feel like we ever get the conversation around, it's hot in Atlanta.
Is it because we're down to the championship and it's bigger stakes?
I think largely a part of it is...
What date is that usually?
It's 2 weeks, wherever. It used to be Labor Day weekend, but they wanted to finish before football.
It's going to be hot.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So, and this year, it's... The calendar's off because they had to fit in the Olympics. And so because of that, it's moved dates around. But I think a large part of it is amongst... We don't feel it, we don't sense it, but amongst golf fans worldwide, why is there a big tournament? Why is there an event in the FedEx Cup playoffs in Memphis when there's not one in Boston, there's not one in New York? These big markets, Chicago doesn't have a regular event anymore. Why is that not it? That is the undertone. And so they've really hammered, man, it's hot. Why are they playing golf there? So that they could move it somewhere else. But it's like, you know why it's here? Because literally every single time this tour has needed money, they go to FedEx. And FedEx has been, fine, here's the money. By the way, you're going to put it in Memphis. And like, lo and behold, that's why we're here. So
shout out to FedEx.
Shout out to FedEx. Thank God for FedEx.
It wouldn't be happening with them. But with all the changes with the golf tournament, of course, it became part of this actual tournament championship going on. So it really was a fixture in June for the longest amount of time, and it was often hot then as well. But
correct,
it was the beginning of the summer hot versus towards the end of the summer hot.
So the difference would be when it was that event. So when it was the FedEx St. Jude Classic, it kind of was like a kangaroo on a pogo stick with its date. Like, it hopped around. It hopped around a lot. Like, I remember forever when I was growing up, it was always birthday week for me. So the first week of August. Then they moved it to, they liked having the date before the U.S. Open because that got some of the European guys back when there really was a split
Tiger
tour.
Would Tiger come and practice the week before? Did he? No, that was always...
I think the first ever year he was on tour, like, he did like a clinic here, but he didn't play the tournament.
Right.
Like, so he did a cash grab and then moved on. But the whole point is, when it was that event,
right,
people didn't have to show up. Well, now that it's a playoff event or a WGC, the best players have to be there, Like, that would be the argument. When it was just another tour event, who cares? This was the other overreaction, though, that I had walking around. And it kind of has crystallized the more and more, like, you think about it. The golf tournament, and I don't even know if it's specific to Memphis. I think PGA golf tournaments, not major championships. So just random tour stops, whether it be this event, whatnot. These have become social events or outdoor venues to conduct business. Like, you look at it, like, all of the infrastructure, like, it's all these, you know, indoor skyboxes for all the corporate clients, whatnot. And I'm not even saying, like, okay, that's a bad thing or whatnot, but you just realize it really sunk in for me. It's like, the golf is, like, you're, like, it's kind of secondary. Like, it, in terms of if you're someone that's not in a corporate suite, like, you know, you're walking around, you've got a group of friends there, or It's like the one event I feel like most of us can kind of talk our wives into going to, which is kind of runs.
They want to dress up, right?
Yes, bingo.
We don't have the, you know, Louisville's got the Kentucky Derby, right?
Correct.
So that's their like social event. And we have the golf tournament, which we call it, the new bridge, the old bridge. We just call it the golf tournament here.
Correct.
I don't know what they call this tournament outside of Memphis. I really don't. Because I just call it the golf tournament. Everybody always calls it the golf tournament. You go into the golf tournament. You know what the people are talking about when you're talking about the golf tournament. But we don't ever necessarily, very occasionally, you'll hear somebody call it by its name. But yeah, it's definitely a social atmosphere to it. But the thing about, like, maybe like the Super Bowl, right? You go to the Super Bowl, it's not really the true fans that are there.
It's very corporate.
It's very corporate, but you can tell,
yes,
right? At a golf tournament, you really can't tell as much, right? Because there's not like, you can't tell, well, they're not cheering loud enough over there. Those aren't real fans. Well, they're not supposed to be cheering loud at the golf tournament. So is it not harder to tell? Like, can you really look through the crowd and say, that person's not really here for the appreciation of the game of golf?
No, I think for several reasons. One, it's not like, even if you're following the last group.
Right. Those are the diehards, the ones who are out in the heat that we talk about, following those groups, though.
But for the most part, there's, like, it's played out over a large piece of land. And so
over
it's spread
out. A long
out.
Day.
Correct. Now, Saturday became this weird thing where the PGA Tour, probably because they were worried about what had happened the previous week,
right. They
overreacted and they basically said, instead of having everyone go off on the first tee, and because they had some rain overnight, they put everyone on split tees and basically had the tee times like in a 2-hour window. Everyone was on the course. So you wound up having this high concentration of everyone kind of following, like, everyone is basically on the course for a very brief period of time rather than spreading it out throughout the whole length of the day, where you had the guys that were playing the worst going early and maybe they'd be done, and then you'd be seeing the guys that were playing better throughout the day. Everyone was just on the course all at once. So, like, Rory, who was, you know, near DFL, is on the course at the same time that the leaders are, and so it kind of made
it's hard to gauge the crowd.
Correct. And because everyone was just playing in such a condensed environment. But, like, you just really realize, and this is not even like pointing the finger. Like, I think this holds true now more than ever. It's like, we don't really care about, like, the competition. And right. That's fine. Like, even I found myself going, like, because my wife's like, oh, well, do you want to go watch Rory? And I watched Rory on the practice range. On the driving range, and I could tell, I'm like, oh, he had like his caddy, his agent, and they're just like going and looking at the iPad after he'd hit a swing, and you could tell, like, oh, something's wrong, like golf swing wise. And I was like, he didn't have it. I watched him on the first hole. He has like no idea where it's going. He hits a tree with a wedge, like, ugh.
Oh, wow.
And so he's pretty checked out. And so, like, you know, like, I don't care to follow my guy when I realize, like, hey, man, he's literally just there because he has to be there. Like, he's going to finish the round, whatnot. It's like, I didn't really care. It's like, let's go to the spot where you wanted to hang out and, like, we can watch there. Like, it's fine. But I think that holds true for just about everyone in there. It's like, what actually happens, like, on the golf tournament, and granted, a Saturday is different than a Sunday because you're not deciding anything on Saturday, but it really just feels like, all right, it's more of a social event. Like you said, I think the perfect example is the Kentucky Derby. Like, it's on the small scale, it is our version of the Derby.
But also, maybe on a local scale, it would be, you know, prior to this year when we had more than one of them, but Barbecue Fest, right? Like,
yeah.
You go to Barbecue Fest, not for the competition of the barbecue. Nobody's, you know, there's people there who care about it and that are competing, and there's some serious stakes on the line when it's Barbecue Fest, but most people who go there go for the social element of the party of Barbecue Fest, what is going on around this competition.
I think you're 100% right, and I think the other thing that I would add to that is we don't really, like, it's our summer event. Like, you know, we have Memphis in May, right. So, you know.
Do we?
Well.
Yes, we have something.
Theoretically.
We have stuff in May.
Right. You know,
yeah.
We have, on paper, you know.
We do. We have
the concerts, which tend to skew younger because we can't. It's really tough to do 3 straight days at our age. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we can maybe give them one. But to your point, Barbecue Fest.
It's similar to the golf tournament. I mean, they're more similar even than maybe Barbecue Fest and Music Fest, really, when you compare them.
I think you're right, because there are some people that are there to watch the golf.
Yeah.
It's smaller, but it's the same in your example. Like, I'm on a team that tries...
You don't have to know anybody for the golf tournament, though. You do have to know people probably not to have a heat stroke. You got to get... Did you get air conditioning when you were there?
Only as tickets, though. But to your point, you got to know somebody. Yeah, it's not like I had...
Or have some money. I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
but also, like, you don't have to know somebody at Barbecue Fest if you have money, just because you're intending to do your thing. But,
like, to your point, like, I'm on a team that tries to thread the needle of being competitive and then right. while also being kind of a party tent.
Right.
And that works great when, you know, 2 years ago we finished first in shoulder, whatnot. But this year when we did Smoke Slam, right, we did the other one, we did the river one because it's party.
Mm-hmm.
We had a horrible showing. And so, like, the cooking team's feeling terrible, like they've let us down. And all of us are sitting there going, like, hey, man, food was incredible. Like, we're bummed for them because, like, that means a lot more to them than it does to us. But it didn't really change my experience. And so...
But if the golf tournament, when you were there this weekend, look, my experience going to the golf tournament, like, the heat is a factor. And as much as they talk, it is annoying, but, like, it is something, like, if you go to it, it's better to have, and they've done such a great job, having more affordable ways to get to cooling areas and, you know, having food and beverage options that or affordable once you get inside.
They've built buildouts that are covered, that are open to the public, and that used to not really be the case.
Yeah, so that's much better. But I feel like, yes, it's good. It's great. That's what's cool about golf is the social element, is that you can focus on it if you want, and you don't have to focus on it if you don't want to. But I think when you look at the Tiger football renovations, right?
Yep.
They seem to be focused more on, like, let's go for that atmosphere stuff, because you got to give people a reason to come out there. If you want to watch the golf, you can sit at home and get the best view of the golf in your air conditioning and not have to talk to anybody if that's the way you want to do it.
And I've noticed along those same lines, most of my friends that care about golf, they would rather go on Saturday and then on Sunday watch the tournament at home because you can follow it a lot more easily. But I think the other thing, like, if you talk about with the stadium renovations, so in my lifetime, because we'll also kind of see this with the Grizzlies, we're in this weird era of trying to figure out what is the sweet spot to get people to come out. Because forever, when you and I were, you know, 15 or younger, the thought of when you're redoing your stadium is you want to add seats, make it bigger. Well, what happened very quickly is people started to recognize that's not really how you maximize revenue. Because basically what you're doing is you're adding cheaper seats. And so then it flipped to this thought process of, all right, let's make things smaller, more intimate, but make it feel more premium. And, you know, maybe we're having more seats that are field clubs or, you know, premium seating that's closer to the action.
Right.
And that kind of became the new mindset. Well, then we have a little thing called the pandemic. And what largely happened in the pandemic from a sports perspective is all of us decided, hey, man, like, we just kind of are going to sit inside. Like, we're going to sit inside. We can watch it all. Like, why would I go watch one game when I can watch all the games? And, you know,
HD, through this whole period you're talking about is the invention of HD television.
HD and cheap.
Right.
Good TVs
became
got
cheap,
really,
right.
really cheap.
Oh, my goodness. I was walking through Walmart the other day. I mean, they have some huge TVs. And I'm like, it's like.
I mean, I was in Costco yesterday. You can buy an 85-inch with all the bells and whistles for like $1,100. I mean, so that's a
huge
part. I'm
just talking about the cheapest of the cheap for like $285 bucks, and it was huge, and it looked great. Like, you know, if it went out next year, whatever, you got your money's worth.
Well, like, I mean, I think about it in these terms.
How much are tickets?
Like, I remember in 2003, one of my Fred's dads bought, like, the first plasma.
Right.
And it
they
was,
don't
like,
do anymore, yeah.
$25,000. And this is, like, and it quickly was outdated like that because when we then got to the flat screen HD era, like, even though plasma was, like, top of its line in, like, 2003.
Yeah, it still has better black levels on those, they say. But I mean, whatever that means, I don't know.
Yeah, the blacks are better, are crisper black than you can find. But the big thing is that we were able to get really good TVs, really cheap, and now all of a sudden...
And, of course, the pandemic. So you factor in all of this in. So now, where are we at now? Because it did seem... Because you're fighting. All these sports teams are fighting with, like, how do I get you to get out of your house, right?
Correct. And so it seems to me the new approach is going to be where... I think the new approach is we got to figure out how to get your wives to want to go.
And that's what the golf tournament seems to have that somewhat figured out. And
more so than anything
else.
Correct. And so now what it seems like is, particularly like if you look at what the new Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, like the main mm-hmm. renovation is, obviously you have the suite level like that's going to be up top, and like that's a big revenue generator. But a lot of it is like open air. A lot of these places that you see around town where more space to walk around, socialize, and it's like places that you can move really quickly.
But it's the problem. Does Memphis football just need to figure out whatever that, and you're a veteran down there in Oxford, Mississippi, right? You know how it works. At the end of the day, because the SEC games, they are events, right? Where the girlfriends and the wives like to go and get dressed up,
correct,
and have a great time. You could do that for college football, but changing how the stadium looks is not going to create that vibe. Is it? I mean, is that going to encourage more of what you're talking about? The casual people who want to go for the event of it, that's the thing to do. You just got to have to become the thing to do. Is it because the college football games are the things to do in these towns? Like, you don't get the opportunity to dress up and go out and see everybody that you know, except on the home game Saturday.
So the struggle I would say that Memphis is going to have compared to the SEC teams is...
Well, schedule number one. we'll deal with that later.
Number one. Like... The Ole Miss,
but
Mercer
game. But you're talking
game.
About the casual fans and the whether it's the girlfriends or the family member, whoever, that just comes out for these games, for the social event of it, to make it a social event. SEC football is a social event, right?
Largely, yes.
The tailgating and all of that,
yes,
that goes
in.
And that's got to help in turn, maybe, the attendance of those games. Maybe not. So some people just want to stay and tailgate, and they don't have to go into the stadiums. But
I mean, that's definitely,
you do need the incentive to get away from your tailgate and walk in a timely manner.
I think that's the idea. Because, you know, the new addition's going to, like, Tiger Lane's going to lead up to it. And so the idea is, like, walk in.
They need to pick a great spot to tear down, yeah.
Now, there's also, like, the element of, okay, well, what do you do when you're like at a bar, essentially?
Right.
Well, you buy drinks. And so that's another revenue stream, whatnot. And yes, you're obviously going to pay more, you know, buying that seltzer at the stadium, but like that's a revenue stream. And so there's kind of all of that. But I really think, like, in the end, it's just going to be, how do you get people in? It's kind of still the same formula. It's like, give them games that they care about or give them a team that they care about. Like, right. I don't know if you can scheme your way into attendance, I guess is how I would say it.
Well, I mean, some of the renovations I think are great because the new is always great for a little bit. It's not going to be new forever, right?
So
the newness is, you got to be able to capitalize when it is new. But definitely old, really old can be bad in sports. I appreciate, you know, some classic buildings and old stuff. And I think in Memphis, we probably tear down a lot of stuff when we shouldn't. But we just tearing down this part of the Liberty Bowl, I can kind of agree with it.
I think we like to look at classic architecture.
Right.
But we don't like to feel classic architecture when you're in there. Like,
an updated air conditioner.
Correct. Like, so, you want it to feel, maybe the outside looks historic, but you don't want that inside to feel historic.
You don't
want to
be in an elevator that feels like it's not moved.
Correct. And you don't want to, like, obviously in a stadium it's a little bit different, but like when you go into an old building, you can like smell that must of an old building. Like, no, but we've seen throughout the country, like, people have done lots of things where they've taken old buildings and renovated them inside that feel new, and that seems to make people feel better.
It does. The comfort, though, I mean, this does not seem like a lot of the investment is working on any of the comfort level of the seats or many of the seats. I mean, for some of the more expensive seats, right, we're getting more boxes.
Well, they are doing that.
The press box is going to be nicer, so maybe you can convince other media to write how the Tigers should be in a better conference or something. But the actual average Joe seats are still going to be the benches, right? And that's not going to upgrade that comfort compared to my couch.
Well, and then further, now granted, if they get to the next phase, you will have...
The next phase is going to seat backs or in the next phase?
So basically, you would have like club... It'll look like club level, like, yes, chair right. backs, whatnot. But they've got to get to that phase. So right now, essentially, what you're doing is...
This is demo phase. Is this phase zero? We're in week zero for college
football. Technically phase one.
We are in phase one.
Phase one to begin phase two, which is the building of the new tower that's going to have the presidential suites and all that.
It's going to look nice.
Party
decks. It's going to look modern.
But like to your point,
I mean,
if you look at, but let's say that they don't get to phase three. Well, you've taken out a lot of seats right at the 50-yard, you know, between the 30s that are really good seats, and you've turn them into kind of open air areas.
Yeah, I wonder that is a questionable decision.
Well, I mean, it's the idea is that that it's temporary,
right?
But I mean, to me, like the bigger question is,
but I mean, you're putting the premium seats in on the 50-yard line, so like the boxes are going to be in a great spot. I mean, I like the design of the space. So look at it. You can always just Google it if you're looking to see what the plans are, because we've seen the videos. They've gone viral. I mean, everybody, if you're a sports fan on social media across the country, you've been seeing that, because that press box going down was really cool last week. But I don't know, because I feel like, to me, I want a comfortable seat. I got a nice comfortable seat here in the studio right now. But like, I need, you know, give me a chair back. I'm getting older. You know, I don't want to sit on a bench the whole time. And, you know, to pay so much money and then you got to bring a cushion with
correct.
You. Correct. You know? Like, imagine going to the movie theater and you've got to bring a cushion because the seat is going to be uncomfortable.
Well, and imagine you paid IMAX price.
Right.
Like you paid for the highest possible like, ticket value.
Doesn't matter how great the product is, if you're, you know, sitting and then that's, you know, you can sit on a bench and it's fine, you know, for the college students and stuff. But I just wondered where that factored in for.
I mean, to me, it's
some of the renovations.
I think the way that they would say it is, if it did not make it to phase three, it'd be a failure. Not in like the greatest sense of. They shouldn't have done it, because at a certain level, you kind of have to make a statement that if we want to be a part of the big boys, we've got to start treating the stadium like we're doing a big boys.
Right.
But I do not think they have the intention of having that much empty space in what could be considered premium seating. Like, they really need to get to phase three where you have those big time seats. Like, that's a huge part of it.
Yeah. And then maybe, and no one's saying they're not going to make it there. And any improvement to the Liberty Bowl, I support. Or I'm sorry if there's Simmons and Baker Liberty Stadium. Any renovation is an upgrade, right?
So yes.
So the fact that they're doing anything, you can find your way to take advantage of what they will have. But we won't see any of it this season. It doesn't look like.
No, I think we're now at the point. So if you go look at the live cam, it basically looks like we've got a chunk of. Like below, what would have been below the old press box feels like from like the 40s, like 40 to 40. It feels like that's all we got left, and then that's going to be knocked down.
Yeah, I don't know how I was missing out on this
the live cam.
The live cam. I'm going to be watching this every day. You can just a little edge of the Coliseum block. Now you're going to be able to see that and that new sports complex completely.
Yes, yeah,
there's not much left. Not many of the seats available. Home of the Tigers. It still says up there.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, from the 30 to the 30, and now they've taken out that chunk. I mean, so basically from the 10-yard line to the opposite 10-yard line, like that, other than like the seats above the blue seats, they're gone. That's what it looks like. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk some Tiger basketball with Jason Munns. He was also out at the golf tournament. We'll get his thoughts on everything that's happened. He spoke with Penny Hardaway a couple of times. Also got a new preseason game for Tiger basketball. We'll talk all that with him when he joins us next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
We actually got some news, I feel like, for normally like this time of the year where we're just kind of like, all right, how many times can we go through the schedule? But let's start first, before we get to the Huntsville game, we get the report that Memphis is going to play UConn in the first round game of Maui. I mean, I know it sets up to where, okay, you could be in the loser's bracket and you're kind of up, you know, you're up against it based on how that could be, but I think overall that's a win, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. If you're thinking about it from a strength of schedule standpoint, from a net standpoint, I think win or lose, I mean, certainly win, but like even if you lose that game, the way things are projected to go for the Huskies this year, two-time defending national champions, you know, like that can only help you from a metric standpoint. Even if you lose, I mean, certainly it's not going to look great if you lose by 30. It's not going to be great for your net and your KenPom and your, yeah, your Bart Torvik and all that stuff. It's not going to be great for you, or, you know, it's not going to be as good for you. But I think if you at least don't get blown out, it's, you know, if you're going to have to lose to a team, you know, UConn's one of those teams that it could wind up being just a net neutral or maybe even a net positive if it's a close loss. So I think it's a big deal. Especially when you take it into perspective, if you put it in perspective with all the other big non-conference games that Memphis has this year, it's certainly, you know, I wrote 2 weeks ago, like, is this the best? We talked about it. Is this the best non-conference schedule that Memphis has ever had? I think now we can go ahead and say yes.
Yeah, I feel like it's just kind of like running up the score. It's like we were already kind of getting there. Now it feels like this is just, you know, it's tacking on some insurance runs.
It solidifies it for sure. And I mean, you know, we'll see what the bracket, you know, the bracket's supposed to be released tomorrow, supposed to be announced tomorrow, like, you know, who's on what side of the bracket. I would hazard a guess, just based on the way John Rothstein had it all listed out, that it could very well be Michigan State and Colorado on your side of the bracket, which would mean that Iowa State, Auburn, Dayton and North Carolina are on the other side of the bracket, but that's fine. Like, Colorado went to the Sweet 16 last year. They're, you know, nobody's projecting them to be this powerhouse this season, but who knows? I mean, you'd certainly rather play a Colorado team coming off a Sweet 16 run than, say, I don't know, Middle Tennessee or something like that. So, yeah, I mean, if you get a UConn, even if you wind up having to play Colorado on day two, you're, no matter what happens on the first 2 days, you're pretty much guaranteed to play somebody who is projected NCAA tournament team on day three. So, and who knows, maybe you get lucky and you play, you get a projected NCAA tournament team all 3 days. We'll see.
And then we also got the announcement of the Rocket City Classic, correct?
That's correct.
So indeed, it'll be an exhibition game between Memphis and Alabama in Huntsville. Yep. And it's a preseason game, so this is not part of it. How did this all come about?
I mean, it was a few years ago. I don't remember what exact year it was. I think it was the COVID year, 2020, October 2020. There was, these two teams were supposed to play an exhibition game, a charity exhibition game here in Memphis at FedEx Forum. Obviously, you know, no fans and all the restrictions and everything else, they canceled that. This is not, like, technically a, you know, that game, obviously. It's not here, it's there, or it's in, it's a neutral site. But, I mean, that would be my guess of how this came about, that you know, they were supposed to do this a few years ago, 4 years ago now, and they figured out a way to make it, to get it done now. Of course, the other thing, I put in my story that I wrote about the news, that last October, it was after Memphis had just beaten Lane College. Penny was asked about these closed secret scrimmages, which this is not going to be that, but he was asked about, you know, what are his thoughts and feelings about, you know, a lot of these teams around the country are doing that more and more and more, playing these high-profile opponents in these closed scrimmages just to, you know, get some good run in before the season started. And he said he was all for it. He even name-dropped a couple of teams. He was like, you know, what if it's Ohio State? What if it's even Marquette? So, like, his mindset, if you go all the way back to last October, he was already kind of thinking about this. So, you know, this, I don't think this was anything that came up at the last, you know, in very recent times. I think the wheels were in motion on this for a while.
I mean, this is big. This is big Tiger schedule. I mean, this is half of the Final Four. We found out today the Tigers are going to be playing half of this year's Final Four.
Good point.
Only one's going to count, but yes, to your point, Kevin. Yes, like, again, even, like, we were talking about the strongest non-conference schedule in Memphis history, it certainly extends to the preseason, even though it's not going to count for wins and losses, it's going to be good for the teams and the coaching staff and like the players and all that stuff. It's going to be really, really good for everybody involved, especially the charity that is benefiting from this. Let's not let that get lost in the shuffle. But yes, Alabama is projected. I think I looked at Borzello's way too early, top 25. He's got him number two. You know, they went out, they bring back Grant Nelson. They bring back Mark Sears. They add Cliff Omorui. Yeah, Alabama's going to be really good again. So, Penny's not ducking any smoke.
Do you think this is going to be something that becomes more frequent, or is this going to be kind of like a one-off? Because like you said, this idea had been, because I'm like you, I'm trying to remember. I feel like there was 1 year where they had Alabama on the schedule, but like it was a road game and they were trying to get it back in Memphis. And then the proposal is, what about a charity game? Like, does this feel like something they want to do more frequently in the future?
I would say, you mean,
these types of games?
Yes. I think as long as Penny's here, I would be very surprised if there are not more of these games, these preseason charities against other Division One, not only just Division One teams, but, you know, prominent Division One programs. I would be very surprised. Like, I could even see a blue blood popping up at some point on the preseason exhibition schedule.
Yeah, I haven't seen this game yet, but I like the idea of it so much better than these secret games. The whole secret game thing is not fun. Come on, we can see everything now, right? With all these apps,
there was nothing.
Let me see these games. Let me see them.
Although Munza, was there anything better than when you know you had the secret scrimmage and as a beat writer you're texting? You know, you're texting the staffers like, can you get me the stat sheet? Can you, you know, like,
there was
so, you know what I mean? Like, oh,
that, Jeffrey. There's lots of things better than that.
there was nothing better, though, when you got the screenshot, you know what I mean? Like, this didn't come from me. It's like, trust me, your secret's safe with me.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I don't know.
Are we going to be able to watch this?
Say what?
Are we going to be able to watch this game?
I don't know if it's going to be televised or not. This particular one, I don't know if it's going to be televised. But I do know that fans are allowed to be there. Media is allowed to be there. Admission is free, although they are...
It's free admission for a charity.
Yeah,
yeah, they're suggesting a $20 donation at the door.
And a canned good.
Yeah, so...
good old food drive. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no. Like I said, I don't know if the detail. Like, we don't even know what time tip off is. So,
if you want to see it, you can see it though,
in Huntsville.
You should be able to. Yeah, in Huntsville, it's great stuff to do. Great weekend trip.
It ain't, but I think it's like 4 hours, a 4 hour drive. So it's not too bad.
What's the date? Isn't Huntsville doing? Or maybe that was Florence. Someone's doing like a big like bands that the three of us would want to go see. Like they're doing like a. I want to say maybe it was Muscle Shoals. They're doing a big like 3 day.
We're trying to tie this in, but Huntsville is not a bad. I mean, it would be a short trip, but also it is one of those southern cities that kind of has some momentum going. So it could be
a
fun.
Yeah, I want to say it's like you can go see like Blink and the Goo Goo Dolls in the same weekend. I want to say it was like Muscle Shoals. I want to say there was if not Collective Soul, maybe there was someone that was like, oh, Munz will be in on that.
I'm down for the trip.
I didn't need any convincing, Jeffrey, but you say Collective Soul, and I'm there whether, you know, like rain, sleet, snow, whatever, I'm there.
Yeah, it's the South Star Music Festival.
Okay, who's any of these bands?
All right, hang on. I was trying to, Aaliyah one time. So it's September the 29th, so it's like a month before the...
Oh.
Yeah, we can't stay that long.
Now I'm disappointed.
Well, and then also, everything for me is clouded by I have to cover high school football. And I think that is also a weekend... No. I was like, I was making sure that was... there's a weekend where I've got to go to Chattanooga. But I don't think... All right, here we go. The headliners are... I mean, this really is like 16-year-old me would have been just so happy. You get... Gwen Stefani. Okay, no, thank you. But you've got our boys, Shinedown, Jimmy Eat World, Gin Blossoms, Blink 182, Beck Still Alive, kicking around, Goo Goo Dolls, Sublime, Pete Yorn, Vanessa Carlton. I wonder. You think she'll play 1,000 Miles?
You think?
I would
Juvenile,
think so.
TLC.
This is big.
Yeah.
Wait, what is the name of it? Is it not 90s themed?
It is the South Star Music Festival in Huntsville, Alabama on September 28th and 9th.
All right. This is a type of...
Yeah. Saturday-Sunday affair.
Okay. Good stuff. I mean, you're right. That is peak 90s, late, early 2000s. Right down a lot of people's alley, I think.
All right, also, you got to speak to Penny twice last week, or was it just once?
I spoke to him myself once,
okay.
But then he also spoke for 106 seconds in Collierville.
Okay.
We thought Collierville was going to be the only chance we had to speak with him, and then, whoops, surprise, he spoke at TPC Southwind Wednesday afternoon. I happened to be lucky enough to be there. I think we got him for about 6 minutes there, and it was good. You know, he talked a lot about just like his biggest takeaway from the off-season workouts was just how quickly this team has bonded and built some really good chemistry. And it's like, you know, that's what you hope for. That was the whole point of bringing everybody together so much sooner than you have in years past. You know, you get everybody here as early as possible together. You iron out the kinks. You start building chemistry. And he said it, like, actually worked. You know, that everybody seems to be really, really, really locked in together. And he credited Musa Cisse and Tyrese Hunter and Tyrese Smith for sort of taking the lead on that. What was it, Saturday, I actually got to talk to Tyrese Hunter, Dane Danger, Colby Rogers and PJ Haggerty for the first time since they got here. And, you know, they kind of echoed everything Penny said. And it sounds great. Like, it really, really sounds good. If you're a Memphis fan, and also if you're a Memphis fan, you're keeping your fingers crossed that it's not just, you know, that it actually carries over and plays out the way everybody's making it sound.
Did it feel like the tone was different last Wednesday?
Yes. Yes, very much so. It was very relaxed. I don't want to say it was a complete 180 from the other time at TPC Southwind earlier this summer, where it was a little bit tense, but it was close to a 180, and a very pleasant surprise, and you know, it was good, and maybe that's because the last time, the other time we tried to talk to him out at TPC, the summer workouts hadn't started. This time they'd already gone through the entire summer, and maybe he felt better about, you know, maybe he really did feel good about what he saw this during the 10 weeks that they were here for summer workouts. And so, I don't know. We'll see.
You had told us this, I don't know, at least a month ago, if not more, but we got the official news that Daniel Vieira Tuck will not be on the team. I've noticed this trend, and I'm curious to know if it continues. Are we just now at the point where someone is not eligible? It's like, well, it was the school that he went to. He got taken advantage of. It's like, okay, like, I get it. I'm not saying that everyone is operating with, you know, the best of intentions, like, altruistically, but it's like, you could have not gone to the school. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just kind of getting frustrated with, like, that it's, you know, well, it was this school that was like a predator. It's like, okay, well, you chose to go there. Like, I don't know. Like, that's kind of frustrated me.
No, I certainly understand where you're coming from, just because, you know, you ultimately are in charge of your own destiny, your own fate. You know what I mean? Like, you said, sometimes people get screwed over, and maybe that is what happened in this case. But, like, in talking to Daniel's dad, you know, he was telling me that, like, one of the problems was the school enrolled him in the same class twice. And it just feels like that's something that's pretty easy to sniff out and look at and say, hey, wait a minute. Maybe.
Like, why am I taking this class again?
Yeah, like, is this necessary? Because it feels like it's not necessary, and it feels like it might come back to bite me. Like, I should probably be taking another class that would count, you know, that I would get the credits that I need to get to be able to go to college. And so, yeah, I mean, the other thing is, you know, it just, the other thing is, it's like, once what's done is done, you know, I just feel like, you know, it's done, and you move on, and just felt like this dragged out a little while, probably a little too long, but you know, but bottom line is, Daniel Vieira Tuck will not be at Memphis this season. He says, he and his dad both say there that Daniel is still committed to Memphis for next season. Kind of gets, you know, you take that with a big grain of salt,
yeah,
just because of the way things have gone with Penny Hardaway teams and his program over the last few years, and the fact that the other thing that nobody's really talking about is, I think Daniel's going to be like either 20 or 21 by this time next year. Not many true freshmen come in as a 20-year-old or 21-year-old, but we'll see. we'll see. I mean, he's a very good player by all accounts, and I think you want him on your team if you can have him. It's just a matter of, is he going to be able to? I mean, if he's not eligible now, and I take that back. His dad told me that he's going to be working on his associate's degree, and once he gets that, he'll be eligible. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see where we are this time next year.
All right, and then lastly, the Tigers do reportedly have a new strength coach.
Yes, I reported that this morning. That's what my sources are telling me. His name is Todd Forcier. And
Forcier, not Forcier.
Correct, Forcier. Okay. He was out of bounds.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.